now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to The Ruck. It is great to have you back in these tough times. We hope you're all well out there. We hope your families are safe and well too. I'm Owen Slott and I've got a pretty full complement of Ruckers this week. All of us, of course, dialing in remotely, hoping that our Zoom connection doesn't go down. That's Lawrence Dallaglio, Steve Jones and Alex Lowe. I should add also that we are joined by Mike Beauville, our producer. And I add that specifically because you should know that when Mike is in producing our podcast, he's now working at West Middlesex Hospital. Right hospital, Mike? Got my information right for once? Yeah, Mike's not saying anything. Anyway, hats off to you, Mike. Now, Mike, you can talk, and I think you should too. Just tell us what your role in the hospital, or just what it's like there.
Well, I have to say, it's very calm, despite everything going on behind the scenes. The staff, as you would expect, are extremely professional and just getting on with daily life as best they can. So the situation that I found myself in, despite the joys of producing the Ruck podcast every week, I found the rest of my earnings disappearing pretty much overnight during this crisis. So I needed to go out and get work, and hospitals are places where fortunately, at the moment, there is still lots of need for people to come in and work. So whilst the true pros go and help out in A&E and obviously in intensive care and places like that, people like me come in and help out with the rest of the hospital. So I'm actually working in the mental ward at the moment. Very, very different to my previous life as a rugby journalist and sports reporter and the person responsible for running TalkSport 2 and things like that. So a real insight into the day-to-day life of people who run hospitals and make this country work, which I think far too many of us have been guilty of not knowing anything about or not caring enough about over the last few years and decades. And thankfully, that's been brought into sharp relief by this current crisis.
Well said, and good for you. Do you have to wear what sort of protective clothing at all do you have? Do you have?
Yes, I mean, not quite full PPE as you see in intensive care, but yeah, on every ward, wherever you go, you have to wear PPE. Thankfully, in decent supply at the West Mid so far, so no shortages, but. It's just amazing the job that people. I mean, I was working 13-hour shifts for the last couple of weeks, which really isn't a great deal of fun. But at least I'm able to take breaks, and the doctors and nurses who are on the front line who have to do that and not get a chance to get out of their PPE. And it's been really hot the last couple of weeks as well. Not helped with all the radiators in the building still on full. And it's when it's 25 degrees outside as well, that is not much fun at all. So I can only imagine what the conditions are like inside ICU.
Well done, Mike. We're proud of you doing that, mate.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks,
we'll get back to you as soon as we can about a regular place on the Ruck, all right?
So that was Jonesy. So let's just go through the boys. How are we surviving lockdown? What's the madhouse like in which you're living in? Jonesy, all good with you?
Yeah, because I've got an office in the summer house at the back of the garden, right at the top of the garden. But I haven't actually seen any of my family for 6 weeks. I just stuck up here. I'm not in lockdown. I don't want to talk to them. Well, I tell you what, I've seen a lot of films. I love films, but I've not been much in the last 10 years. And I'm trying to catch up. So I'm quite happy, obviously, following everything avidly and just hoping and praying that, you know, they get on top of the stats and we all get back out again.
What's your best film of lockdown so far?
I saw Happy Gilmore last night, actually, which for a light-hearted one is good. But There's been some great ones. Darkest Hour, the thing about Winston Churchill, I thought was tremendous.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Alex, how are you going? How's life with homeschooling till two children and trying to do a job at the same time?
Yeah, so it's going to get busy from today. They're back at school today. So I took a break from teaching equivalent fractions to my seven-year-old, or maybe he was teaching them to me. The last couple of weeks have been really nice, actually, these Easter holidays. We've tried to be as positive about it as possible. So we're enjoying more time going out, walks and playing football in the garden. I've enjoyed the Tim Burgess from the Charlatans has been doing these listening parties every evening. So they've got thousands of people all listening to the same record at the same time, 10 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night. And that's been quite a fun sort of collective experience. But yeah, it's going to get hard from today, back being a home teacher.
Lawrence, all good with you?
Yeah, surprisingly. I mean, I think, you know, like everyone else, the first 3 weeks of lockdown feel relatively okay, calm. You know, it's thankfully the full extent of the coronavirus crisis is not reached our front door, in the sense that obviously I know few people who have had it and recovered, but you know, it's that there's obviously a lot of people out there who are really struggling. But the first three weeks have been okay. I think the challenges for all of us in many ways start from now on, because there's a certain amount of restlessness, not just in our house, but generally across the nation, about, you know, not knowing quite what's going to happen, when do I get my life back, or even a resemblance of my life back. But for me, it's been, as I said, quite calm at the moment. We've had one source of amusement and distraction has been sort of, everyone talks about reconnecting with old friends, don't they, across this, and that's one of the benefits. We've had a Wasps WhatsApp group of players that go back probably to the, well, as far as I can remember, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and obviously the amount of messages coming in to wish various people happy birthday. I mean, if it carries on at this rate, we've got about 200 people on the WhatsApp group. That's obviously a birthday every 2 days. So sculling a pint of beer and nominating someone else is it's not going to get us through lockdown, I don't think.
So Damien Hopley's 50th, was he were there 200 beers that he had to match then?
Well, Damien Hopley eventually got on that WhatsApp group. I'm sure he's been pretty busy, judging by the wonderful interview. And I have to say, Jonesy, hats off to that. It was a really good interview with Damien Hopley that you did for The Ruck. Yeah, he got on the group. And then it was Damien Cronin's birthday, that famous German, that famous German Scottish second row forward. So, no, it's been good fun. And long may that continue.
Is there a leader in the clubhouse for quickest pints, or have you outgrown that now?
Well, certainly amongst the youths, I would say. Yeah. There's a few that have, you know, Haskell's sort of jumped off the WhatsApp. He's gone off in a sulk, maybe because he can't sort of air all his views without letting a few other people air theirs.
Just imagine being on a Zoom conversation with Haskell. It would be impossible, wouldn't it?
Well, the idea of a podcast is it's a two-way transmission, isn't it?
For this podcast, I'm trying to lighten up everyone's lives with a bit of a quiz, which we'll do in a minute. But even without rugby, we never seem to be short on rugby news. So I just wanted to talk about two things in particular. First of all, anyone who's been looking at the new sports pages will see that the race to become the next chairman of World Rugby is full on at the moment. Bill Beaumont is standing for re-election against Gus Pichot. And Jonesy, you broke an extremely significant story about the dark machinations within World Rugby that I think taint Bill Beaumont really quite significantly.
Yeah, it didn't start out to be like that. I'm just interested because reports began to emerge, and we've always heard the rumour that this guy Keane, Francis Keane, who's the former head of the Fijian Navy, we've heard these reports that he'd been done for manslaughter. And I just sort of delved into it and made a couple of calls, and suddenly there's like an avalanche coming the other way where people can't resist from revealing things. You know, I was put onto an Amnesty International report in which he was heavily criticised for his part in a sort of horrendous culture in the prison service. But I mean, there's some of the stuff. I mean, obviously, as we all know, what appears in a paper is often those things you could get past the lawyer. I mean, the things we couldn't get past the lawyer would have stopped you in your tracks. But, just as one example, he was filmed on a tape which went viral in Fiji in an absolutely maniac mood, horrendous homophobic expressions, he tried to incite two people in the prison service to beat up another one. It's not actually recorded whether he did. But the great irony is, this is a man who was done for a murder, then chopped down to manslaughter. He was meant to serve 18 months, didn't serve anything like that. But this utter charlatan and the man who was responsible for the death of someone else, 2 years later, he's head of the prison service. I mean, it is absolutely amazing. And where it went was... But then you realise that Billy is implicated in this. No one's saying that he in any way condoned what Keane has done. But, you know, the stuff that I heard about Keane that we couldn't print was just horrific. And it does affect Billy because, of course, Billy is seconded for the post by the Fijian Rugby Union. Now, World Rugby, quite rightly, said, look, it's not this Keane guy it's the Fiji Rugby Union. Well, I can tell you that he is the Fiji Rugby Union. Nothing happened he doesn't know about.
Do you think that will affect Beaumont's election campaign? Or do you get the impression that so much of this is already tied up with vote bartering and deals, etc., that something as shocking as this won't even swing it?
Well, it should do, because first of all, someone should say, is there no due diligence whatsoever for people who want to be voted on to the senior panel, the EXCO? It's not a big panel. It is a decision-making body. And the idea that Bernard Laporte could personally patronise this guy Keane is unbelievable. It's going to cause waves. There was a big thing in the week that the bookies slashed Gus Pichot's odds. Well, where that came from, I don't know. But certainly someone's got money on him. So, you know, the bookies are no fools. So I think it's going to be quite interesting, because I think Bill at one stage was a big favourite.
And Alex, you wrote the story end of last week that when the Premiership does come back, there's now a high chance that they might try and focus just on Twickenham and stockpile games there, play three in a day, try and just have all the focus in one place and maybe play three games one day and then three games 3 days later or something and try and burn through as many games as possible with no crowd at all. Do you think that's likely to happen, or is that just one of a million and one contingency plans?
So it's one of the plans being looked at. It was Matt Lawton, a colleague of ours, who first got on to the idea of that Twickenham was being discussed as the leading option by at least one Premiership club chief executive. The idea of it, if the game gets back on the field, it will be behind closed doors. When I was working sort of around that story, trying to help Matt, I was picking up that the government are really keen to get sport back on for the morale of the country. The RPA wrote to the players on Thursday or Friday of last week, detailing sort of a five-step return to rugby schedule. Step one and two was training. Step three was Premiership games behind closed doors. Step four was European games behind closed doors. And step five was we're playing in full stadia. So that is the schedule that they're looking at. There's no way, if they want to wait till crowds are allowed in stadiums, then from what I hear, clubs don't think that'll happen till next year. So Premiership Rugby are committed to getting this season finished. I think they're under pressure to do so from BT Sport. They need the money from the TV deal. And so it's how can they best arrange the resumption of this season? And they're looking at, as far as I understand it, they're still targeting, I think, June the 27th as the return date. They need to build in a pre-season period before then for the players. And then, depending on government advice, if they have to keep, if quarantine is still in position in one way or another, then Twickenham or somewhere like the Rico that has a hotel attached so the teams can stay there, they can be almost on, you know, within a bubble and play the games back to back, day after day. That is certainly one of the options, and according to some, the leading option at the moment for the Premiership.
Lawrence, what would it be like with playing behind closed doors, no crowd or whatever? I mean, I'm sure TV will do as much as it can to sort of soup up the the viewing experience, but for players, it'll be dead weird, huh?
I think it'd be very strange. I mean, for some players, it'd be like going back 20, 30 years ago when only two or three people used to come and watch you, or when you ended up playing in your second or your third or even your fourth 15. But no, listen, it is very strange. But I guess there is such a pressure financially on all these teams. What interests me, Alex, was around, you know, clearly there's going to be a number of measures put in place. You know, there's even talk about all the players possibly being tested for coronavirus and all the people required to put the game on. But I'm interested to understand, I mean, players are perfectly entitled to make their own decisions, and there's probably a lot of players, dare I say, out there who are probably feeling a bit scared by the resumption of rugby. And you know, if they personally said that they weren't, that they didn't want to play in those games, you know, how would that be received, and how would that affect them? Because you know, I don't think anyone should be forced to play. You know, I think you've got to feel that the environment is safe, right to return. So yeah, really interested to understand to what degree this is going to happen. And Alex, in terms of timescales, I presume they're looking at things like June and July rather than anything any sooner than that.
One of the points that everyone I spoke to was keen to make was that nothing would happen without government approval, without the health authorities giving it the go-ahead. And they'd obviously have to find a way to make sure everyone was safe and wasn't exposed in a kind of a high-risk way if they were going to get these games played. The timescale, as far as I understand it, is so the Premiership are already talking about the final happening in August. And if you backdate from there, then you're looking at a June start. But that would probably involve some midweek matches. We're definitely now at a point where the players have been off training, really, certainly off team training, off contact training for so long that there needs to be a period of pre-season before they can go back into professional rugby. So you're looking at a month or so. I understand that they're looking at small groups first. I think what one club were told that the players are likely to gather in small groups from sort of the middle of May, start training as a team at the start of June with a target of June the 27th. And if they do that, they can still fit in every game of the club season and have the final in the middle of August, the 18th of August, I think. It would require three midweek matches. If those midweek matches don't happen, because as we all know, for player welfare reasons, we don't have midweek matches anymore. If that was decided that the players shouldn't be put through that, then you'd have to lose three rounds of fixtures based on that timescale, which I understand is what they're aiming for. Obviously, this all depends on government guidance. If the lockdown continues beyond the next 3 weeks, then everything gets pushed back and then they have decisions to make about losing more rounds of the regular season or pushing the final into October, but potentially, which would mean contracting next season. But the pressure is on all these clubs financially to get these games played because they need the broadcast money.
Alex, the important thing here is if they can let us in. I mean, let's get down to the real issues.
Sorry, I've just been thinking that, you know, when I first heard about these games with no fans, thinking, God, no, that's not rugby. But actually, I've changed totally now because, look, BT, they're not actually so much putting pressure on, is that they put an awful lot of money in. So do all the other TV companies. And I just think, how many times now have we seen repeat after repeat after repeat on TV? I think I've seen the one-day international cricket final 43 times. And I think it would be lovely for the fans up and down the country. And just say, not doesn't have to be necessarily be tricky. Rico would be fine, because don't forget, you know, there's people up there that we're not just a M25 sport. I just think that despite all the stipulations and all the requirements you've all delineated there, I think it would be wonderful to get some rugby on TV and it's live and all the fans can watch it, albeit by their firesides, with a few beers. I think it would be lovely.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on. Settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books. Contacts. Calendar. Double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you guys want to do the quiz now? You're quite excited about this.
Yeah.
How do we chime in? Do we have buzzers? Do we have our own signature?
Did you not get your buzzer through the post last week through Amazon?
Now, you've got to caveat this, that we're up against the master here in Mr. Lowe. He's definitely call quiz fit. I'm definitely fit, but in a slightly different capacity, judging by my recycling bins outside.
Lawrence and I are playing for silver here.
I assume this is going to be complete carnage, because as the buzzers somehow didn't arrive, you're just going to all shout at me at the same time. We'll see if we can make it work. So I've got a little warm-up round just to get you into the swing of things.
Lovely.
So question one, who is the highest point scorer in the World Cup?
Pollard.
Well done, Lawrence. Leader in the clubhouse. Well, not quite in the clubhouse yet. Yeah. Who was the highest try scorer in the World Cup?
Adams.
Oh, Arthur, you're coming last now.
I think the quiz is over now.
I think we've done enough.
Cheers, boys.
Thank you, everyone.
I remember sitting in your hotel room, Scotty, doing this in Tokyo, and like I seem to have all the answers on the tip of my tongue, and now I can't remember anything.
Yeah, I couldn't speak back then.
Which player wore the most photographed budgie smugglers?
Faf de Klerk.
Faf de Klerk.
Lawrence, well done, mate. And who wore the most famous mullet?
Jeff Goodhue, the centre. Jack Goodhue.
Lawrence, absolutely well done.
Brilliant.
How many's Arthur got?
He says he's not really. Arthur's not got off the starting blocks yet. It's 3-1 to Jonesy, and Arthur's just, I don't know, he's probably doing homeschooling with his kids at the moment.
Yeah. Ask me an equivalent fractions question, I'll nail it.
The next round is ingeniously called Jason Leonard versus Gregor Townsend versus Jack Nowell. So they've all given us a little bit of an insight into life under lockdown. You've got to guess the following: out of Leonard, Townsend, and Nowell, whose lockdown super skill is watching daytime TV?
Leonard.
Nowell.
Well, I'll go with the other one then. Townsend.
Well, Jonesy, it is indeed Jason Leonard. Out of Townsend and Jack Nowell, one of their super skills is become packing the dishwasher.
No.
Indeed, Lawrence, well done. Jack Nowell confided that his girlfriend says there's an art to packing the dishwasher and he now has it.
Bloody hell. Okay.
Gregor Townsend's super skill was gardening. On the subject of cooking, whose signature dish over lockdown is French toast?
No.
Townsend.
Well done, Lawrence.
This is on fire.
Who just cooks and eats everything?
Oh, it could be either of the other two.
Leonard.
We'll go with Leonard.
Well done, Jones. He is indeed Leonard. And Jack Nowell says he's become a very good barbecuer and he delivered a slow-cooked whole turkey to his family earlier in the week.
Owen, by the way, is Arthur still here with us? Or is he gone?
I think Arthur's going to make a comeback, but
all right.
That's just because we know him, isn't he? He's like Saracens. You think they're down, but pay him a bit more money and they always come back.
Hang on, you're suggesting I'm cheating. There's no cheating going on here.
Well, clearly not, Alex. I asked the Leonard Townsend and Nowell what their sort of competitive mental approach was to family games such as Monopoly, and you won't be surprised to hear that they all said that they are extremely competitive. They only play to win. One of them said wanted me to know very quickly that he is the current family champion.
Who Townsend.
Townsend, well done, Jonesy. And who said, if I'm not winning, I'm known to flip the table?
Jason has to be.
Well, and Alex is finally off the starting.
They should have just demolished all the hotels and houses, wouldn't they?
Who confessed to cheating in a family Zoom quiz?
Leonard.
No.
Jonesy, it was a DJ Noel. Lockdown view, we've got some viewing recommendations. I haven't seen it, but there's a film called Contagion, which is a kind of, you know, what happens to the world when something really like COVID-19 comes and hits us. So one of the following had Contagion as his lockdown viewing recommendation. That would be...
Chat Noel.
Townsend.
Yes, indeed. Lawrence, it was Townsend. Jack Noel's lockdown viewing is Tiger King, and Jason came in with a good old reliable Shawshank Redemption.
God.
Is that the last film we saw?
Lockdown music. Which of the following's lockdown music recommendation was Capital Gold?
Jason.
Of course it's Jason.
Well, he's the only one who could tune into that particular station.
Yeah, he's the only one who can get it.
He's got one of those radios with the dials that you turn still. One of them had Bob Marley's his lockdown music.
Townsend.
No.
Oh,
Jack Noel.
Okay, we'll avoid that. Jack Noel's lockdown music is Bob Marley, and Gregor Townsend is a Biffy Clyro fan. Lockdown reading. Who's lockdown recommended reading is a DIY manual?
Well, it must be Jason. That's a colouring in manual, isn't it? Not a reading manual.
Townsend.
Well, no, it's by process of elimination.
It's the only way you can get a point these days.
Jason recommended the Agassi autobiography, and Gregor Townsend's recommendation was the more sort of chin-strokey sports academic book, Captain Class by Sam Walker.
So Jason's on lockdown reading the Agassi book, watching The Shawshank Redemption and listening to Capital Gold. He's not quite up to speed.
And cooking and eating everything.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go back to a miscellaneous round. What are the names of Andrew Cotter's dogs?
Oh. Olive.
Maeve.
Olive and Mabel. 1 point to Jonesy, 1 point to Alex there. Oh. The now ex-England coach, Steve Borthwick, was once told in a heated in-game exchange that he trained like Tarzan and played like Jane. Who said that?
Lawrence.
And promptly got right-handed by Danny Grucock, who was then sent off. And then they had the disciplinary hearing 30 minutes after the end of the game. And Danny came and knocked on the changing room door and said, you couldn't do me a favour and just lead the witness in this disciplinary and just tell him that you instigated the fight. To which I did, and he was banned for, I don't know, 6 weeks or something.
In Martin Johnson's autobiography, the ingeniously called The Autobiography, he says of one player, people gravitate towards him and are prepared to follow him. If you had a group of 20 blokes stuck in the jungle, he would become the leader of that group.
Lawrence.
Well, Lawrence, you're not very good on your own question.
Well, I thought I'd dip out of this round, but seeing as I'm in the lead by so many, I thought I'd dip out.
You're not anymore. Jonesy says you're ahead of you during the Lawrence
round. I don't mind that. I don't mind Jonesy being ahead of me.
In the 2007 World Cup final, which England player wore the shirt number 13?
Yay! I was lucky to be in that squad.
Okay, this is a question I just made up. Who's now coming second in the quiz?
Lawrence.
Moving on, who is the leading team in the Six Nations?
England.
Well, Alex, England. Who is the leading point scorer?
Oh, Dan Bigger.
Alex is coming back. Dan Bigger. I was surprised about this. Who is the leading try scorer?
Me.
No.
No, it's French flanker. Olivon.
Well done, Alex.
You see, now you've gone technical. He's got his back. I mean, you know, he's such a detail man.
I think we've proven earlier on that I'll have forgotten all of this in 2 months' time.
According to Eddie Jones, this is slightly old, but it's always fun. According to Eddie Jones, which home nation is scummy?
Scotland. Wales.
Wales.
No, Ireland. Ireland. Ireland is scummy. Wales was something else.
It is Ireland. Well done, Alex. And which home nation is a little shit place?
Wales.
Wales.
Well done, Jonesy. I'll give you the scores at the moment. Jonesy on 10, Alex is on 8. Lawrence, having been so fast out of blocks, you're in third place with 6 points.
I mean, I didn't realise I was, it was a vanity project and I was asking questions about myself.
Okay, moving on. We've got some odd one out rounds. I'm going to read out some names and you've got to work out who's the odd one out. Stuart Barnes, Joe Simmons, Rob Andrew, Danny Cipriani and Don Armand.
Don Armand isn't a fly half.
Nope.
Danny Cipriani.
It's quite a hard one, this. I'll put you out of your misery. The answer is Rob Andrew, because he's the only player in that list that Stephen Jones has never waged a campaign that he should be playing for England.
We didn't have to, did he? He was picked.
Bloody hell.
Some more names. Richard Harris, the actor, Nicholas Parsons, Bruce Forsyth, Joe Launchbury and Oliver Reed. Which is the odd one out?
Oliver Reed.
Joe Launchbury?
No.
Forsyth?
Yes, it is Bruce Forsyth.
Oh.
I can't see him as a rugby fan in any way.
No, it's actually, he's the only one who never played rugby to any decent level. So Nicholas Parsons, the late great quizmaster, he played good rugby, and we know that Oliver Reed played a little bit for
Boston Park.
Okay. Next question. It's another odd one out round. Instant coffee, cereal packets, and Bruce Springsteen CDs.
Instant coffee.
No.
God, I'm having a bad finale.
What's the odd one?
Jones, you shouldn't have this one. Instant coffee, cereal packets, and Bruce Springsteen CDs. Which is the odd one out? The odd one out is the Bruce Springsteen CDs. Because in the Jones household, Steve Jones has been keeping the instant coffee and the cereal packets in the fridge, but not the Bruce Springsteen CDs. That is what lockdown has done to him.
Fair enough.
Yeah, is that right, Jonesy?
Yeah, that's fair enough, yeah. Fair enough. Who told you that?
No, he's looking for the camera now.
Come in, Karen. We're going to dial in Karen now. Mrs. Jones. So clearly lockdown's sending us all a little crazy. How many times has Stephen Jones lost his glasses during lockdown?
Have we got a multiple choice here, or is it just a...
Oh, it's just a silly question. The answer is it's impossible to put a number on it.
Yeah, where are they, by the way?
What is Steve Jones's lockdown super skill? All right, you won't get this. It's disinfecting Amazon packages. Is that right, Jonesy?
Yeah, well, you can't be too careful.
What? I don't, Steve Jones, you get this answer. What book did Steve Jones order 2 times from Amazon?
What did I order 2 times from Amazon?
Yeah.
Was it a book?
I can't remember. I'll give you the follow-up question. How many times did he intend to order it?
Okay, we'll go 4.
He tended to order it no times at all.
What did I get then?
What was the book?
I don't know what the book was, but according to the Jones family.
Oh yeah, I think I'm probably right. Yeah, that was a shocker. It's gone back already.
Okay, so we're winding up on the quiz. We've got a little bit more on Townsend, Leonard, and Jack Nowell.
So the answer is one of those.
Strong round.
So we'll do 2 questions on each. So Gregor Townsend first. Toughest opponent, Joel Stransky, Gary Armstrong or Andrew Mertens?
Gary Armstrong.
Joel Stransky.
Right, Jonesy. If he hadn't been born Gregor Townsend, who would he have liked to have been? Stephen Larkham, Lawrence Dallaglio or Carlos Spencer?
Spencer.
Carlos Spencer.
Nope.
Stephen Larkham.
Well, no, Stephen Larkham.
Oh, back. Well, I'm back. Lazarus. That feels good, that point. That feels good.
Jason Leonard, his toughest opponent, was Pascal Ondaatje, Christian Califano, or the referee?
Pascal Ondaatje.
Ref.
Was indeed the ref. Well done, Jonesy.
I would have thought Ondaatje as well, though.
And if Jason Leonard hadn't been born Jason Leonard, well, maybe the world would have been a sadder and more sober place. But yeah, if he hadn't been born Jason Leonard, who would he have liked to have been? Jeremy Guscott, Johnny Wilkinson, or Paul the Judge Rendell?
Guscott.
Rendell.
Yes. Jason said that Rendell was one of the best loose heads England ever produced and the best ever tourist. Don't know how you feel about that, Lawrence.
Yeah, Judge.
He was the judge, so you're not going to argue, are you?
Okay, and finally, Jack Nowell, toughest opponent. Teddy Thoma, Anthony Watson, or Israel Folau?
Teddy Thoma.
Folau.
Folau.
No. Okay, you're all wrong. It was actually Anthony Watson who he said is incredibly hard to stop.
Oh, right. That's interesting.
Very good.
If he hadn't been Jack Nowell, he would have liked to have been either Sebastian Chabal, Dan Carter, or Jonah Lomu.
Lomu.
Carter.
Rugby.
Come on, Lawrence.
Chabal.
Yeah, really? Right.
That concludes the first ever Ruck online Zoom podcast quiz. And I'm delighted to say that the winner with 13 points is Stephen Jones, even though he couldn't remember what book he'd ordered twice by mistake on Amazon.
No,
thanks, boys. Good fun. Alex,
good come
back on 9. And Lawrence, a bit of work to do on 8. But you weren't aware that you were going to be the answer to most of the questions. So. Thank you. Thank you, boys. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week. Stay well, stay healthy, stay at home. This was The Ruck. See you next week.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.